one thing you can see as the kids are moving around is we know how to pour into people, right? Because about all of them had on some kind of jersey. And then a lot of people, that's how they get their team, right? Their parents tell them, this is the greatest team ever. If your parent was a Gamecock fan, they're a liar. Hey, I'm a fan too, but it just hurts. It hurts. You remember when your life was that simple, though, that like you didn't make these life-altering decisions? That your parents, they set these parameters and they walked alongside you, and as long as you fell within those parameters, you didn't get whipped. You know, but some of those rules that your parents laid out were not true. Some of them were just made up. Some of them were downright lies. And this morning I want to talk about a few of those that our parents either tell us or used to tell us. And your parents might not have got you with all of these, but I'm sure you've heard one or two. And kids, remember, your parents love you as we walk through this. Okay, Brian, can you walk through those slides, please? The first one. You make a face at somebody, it'll freeze that way. That is not true. Not at all. It's just rude. You make a face at somebody, your parents don't want you being rude, so it's just rude. Next. If you swallow gum, it stays in your stomach for 7 years. Not true. It's just not what you do with gum. Gum is for chewing and then disposing of. Okay, number 3. Cracking your knuckles leads to arthritis. Untrue. It's annoying. It's painful to watch, but it feels really good. And some of these I think our parents actually believe because they were told them, and it just gets kind of passed down, and that's just what happens. All right, next one. If you leave the dome lights on in the car, it'll blind other drivers. It may distract them, and it's annoying because they just want you to be quiet back there, but nobody's going blind because you turn your overhead light. There are a couple of newer ones that I found as I was looking through these. Next one, Ryan. If you don't behave in the drive-thru line, you don't get a happy meal, you get a sad meal. No happiness for disobedient children. Finally, for those that are teaching their kids to drive, if you leave your turn signal on too long, your car will flip over. Now, I've been behind some of you. Your car would have flipped over a long time ago. These are really funny to look at, right? They're really humorous, and our parents tell us these things, but why? Why do they tell us those things? Go ahead and go to the dark screen here. Right? I think they say them because they want their kids to be obedient. They want to teach their kids that some things are not acceptable. And kids are bad. Like, really bad sometimes. I got a phone call yesterday. Amy and I had taken a little trip to see some people, and we were coming back, and I get a phone call from my in-laws, and they say, Hayden refuses to take a shower. And I said, put him on the phone. And so we talk about him. Just go get in the shower. You know, why does that want you stink? You're a little boy. But kids misbehave. That's what they do. And parents try to figure out how to get around that misbehavior, how to discipline their children, how to raise them so that they're obedient. But lying is not a good way to modify behavior. Because to a kid, you are the ultimate authority in their life. And that lie becomes truth, and that truth becomes reality. And so the things that you say, even in the funny lies that we just went over, they begin to embrace those. Because the person with the most authority in their lives says so. They really think that they're going to have arthritis. They really think that they're going to walk around with a terrible looking face. Because you said so. So quit lying to your kids. When we lie to them about small things, when we tell them that certain things are true, they may very well grow up believing, and then they figure out that it's wrong, and then they say, but wait, what about the big things that you told me? You know, is it okay for me to not believe these big things like Jesus? Is that okay to walk away from? Because maybe it's not true. And when we do that, when we give them the reason to believe that truth varies, because one family believes one thing and one believes another, we just buy into what society says. Because our culture does not believe in truth. Our culture believes that you define truth for yourself. We live in a world where absolute truth is a rare commodity. Impossible to find, and define in human terms. Truth has become relative to what each person experiences and feels, so that whatever makes a person feel good is true. That is right. And then the way they perceive that reality, they create their own reality, that this is okay because this makes me feel good, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Do you know how crazy some people are? Do you know the ideas that go through people's heads? So think about this, in this, the crazy ideas that people can have. What happens in this truth is what you make it world when two ideas, two truths conflict? What happens then? You know what happens? The guy in the aluminum foil hat that believes that there's aliens and thinks you're an alien is okay to push you off a cliff because you're after. That's how we follow that line of reasoning, that truth is what you make it. And to think that truth is subjective, that we get a choice in what is true, is a lie. And not only that, to think that because something is popular makes it true is just as big a lie. Opinion polls, public surveys, cultural acceptance, none of these things can define truth. Because truth is what is real. It can't be shaped by what we feel or think. Truth is reality. For example, it's true that I cannot jump off this stage and fly out of those doors. Gravity would body slam me to the floor the second my feet left this carpet. Some of you might make it farther than me, but we're all hitting the carpet. That's reality. And the ultimate reality is God. God, not man. And I'm not going to build a great argument for that because it's just true. God is reality. So truth then is what God created it to be and what He says it is. Genesis 1:1 tells us that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. And so everything falls under His authority. And in that, all truth, everything that we know, all reality must line up with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. That is absolute truth. He is the boss. He declares right from wrong, good from evil, and every other truth that controls the world. It doesn't matter if you think He's right or wrong. He is God. It's crazy for a created thing to tell a creation that's not quite right. It's ludicrous. We are not God's autocorrect. And how annoying is it when you type in what you want to have come up and autocorrect makes it something else? So you type it in again. How annoying is that to you? But that's what we do continually to God. God, I don't agree with this statement that you made. God, I don't think that this is really the way it should be. It doesn't matter what you think. God is truth. And it is His truth, His desires that rule our lives. He alone decides what is right and what is wrong. Because He is truth. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all truth. We can look at the Old Testament, Isaiah 65:16. God the Father is referred to as the God of truth. That says, so that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth. And he who takes on an oath in the land shall swear by the God his son, Jesus. That's what he says in John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And then the Spirit, God the Spirit of truth. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about it. This should give us so much relief. That we have a God of truth that defines all those things. The knowledge that God is the ultimate reality and absolute truth. Because truth from God is absolute, perfect, and unchanging. Because God is absolute and perfect and unchanging. We don't have to worry about waking up tomorrow to an upside-down world where we breathe through gears. We don't have to worry about everything that God said and everything we've learned about Jesus and sin, waking up tomorrow and finding out that's all not true. We don't have to worry about that because God is absolute and His truth is absolute. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Hebrews 13:8 tells us about Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the truth. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what your emotions say. It doesn't matter who's leading the government. It doesn't matter what country you live in. From the depths of the ocean to the highest mountain, from Muslims to Hindus, truth does not change. Society wants to make us think that truth is just something that is fluid, that marriage can be defined however it wants to be defined. God defined marriage. In His holy word, His truth is absolute. They can tell you that abortion is okay, that it's not murder, but it is the killing of a child. It is murder. Because God knits that baby together. That is the truth. And racism, we can act as a culture as if people are not equal. But God says that He created everyone and that Jesus died so that all could come to faith if they put their faith in it. Not just some. That is truth. God is the final authority on all of these things. And He hasn't hidden this from us. The truth is available to us. He has gifted us with it. We can know what absolute reality is. We open up His Word. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119, 160. About the middle of the Bible. God's Word says, the sum of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. The sum of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Let's pray. Father God, You are truth. Your Word is that truth revealed. Your Son is that truth embodied. Father, change us by that word. As Jesus said, sanctify us in the truth. Let us see where we fail. Let us see where we need. Let us come and embrace the fact that You've laid out this truth for us, and it is the way that we should live our lives. Not moved by emotion and feeling, except those emotions and feelings that drive us to You and Your glory. Holy Spirit, we ask that you move today, that truth is revealed to us, that we may rejoice that someone has been saved today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Hebrew word used here for some is Rosh, which is used in the Old Testament both to talk about the head of something, the beginning of something, but also used to refer to a census. So when you move through the Bible, what we can know is that when we look at the whole counsel of Scripture, every bit of it as the whole is truth. But then the second part of this verse tells us that it's not just the whole, it's each and every individual part of Scripture that is true. When we look at every passage, when we look at each command, it is truth. And we see this word of truth supported in 2 Timothy 2:15, which calls Scripture the word of truth. Jesus says in John 17:17, "Your word is truth." The Holy Bible is God's flawless record of reality. The Holy Bible is the only book of truth. But brothers and sisters, do you view it that way? Do you open the Word and see truth? If you do, does your life say to the world as a Christian that you view His Word as truth? Because for many, the Bible is just another book. I've heard this journey of faith described by universalists as God being on a mountaintop. And us all trying to get there, and there are many trails up the mountain to God. Like Hinduism, or Buddhism, or Islam. But in the Bible, we're told that there is a God that is on top. But it's not about our efforts to climb this mountain. It's that God walked down that mountain, picked us up, and carried us to the top with Him. That's the story of Jesus. That's the story of the Bible. And the truth is that truth is exclusive. There is no plurality of gods. There is one God. And three persons in that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each distinct but with the same nature. One God, one salvation. I quoted that earlier in John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is an exclusive claim that only Jesus Christ makes. Because that is the only way to eternity with God is through Jesus Christ. And that is the exclusive claim written down in the book of truth given to us by absolute God, the ultimate author of truth. To deny this exclusive claim is to deny truth. But we have many that deny it. Because when you read what reality is to be, the way we are to live, when you read it, it means that there are things, sinful things, that you have to put away. And people refuse to do that. They can't do that. They don't want to do that. But 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 tells us that the reason they can't, the reason they deny it, because they're blind to the truth. And it says, it's starting in verse 3, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan is the father of lies. He hates the truth of God. And he has blinded those that are under sin to that truth. And everyone that's here at one point, or maybe still today, has been blinded by Satan to the truth. We think that all we want is what matters. We sin and we're oblivious to it. We pursue our own desires because it makes us feel good, regardless of how it makes anyone else feel. But that feeling's only for a time. Things like getting drunk. It gives us something to look forward to at the end of a hard work week. We work hard, we deserve it, right? Who is God to take that from us? Pornography meets our sexual desires. I'm not hurting anyone. Money ruins our lives because we buy more and more and more to feel happy. And we continually think, if I just had this, I'd be satisfied. Gossip makes us feel superior to others. Let me tell you what I heard. Excites us, makes us feel important. And there are thousands and thousands of other sins that rule our day. And in those sins, Satan rejoices. Because that blindness just grows dimmer and dimmer. And in that blindness, we're headed for destruction. Left to ourselves, we face an eternal judgment at the hands of a holy God. And this book tells us that. That the wages of sin is death. Left to ourselves in our blindness, we're destined there. And that the punishment in that judgment is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And hell is a place of eternal destruction where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the worst part to me in this judgment is that we stand before the magnificence and the holiness of God. We stand before Him and we experience who He is. And He says, "Depart from me." That is hell. And in our rejection of this, people say, how could a loving God send someone to hell? How can He be loving if He sends us to hell? How can we be found guilty if He loves us? But that's the wrong question. The question is, how can a holy God allow us to continue to exist? How does He allow us to wake up and draw breath, knowing that we are His enemy? Knowing that we choose to break His law? Knowing that we choose to sin against Him? How does He allow us to live? Not only that, but in that, while we are sinners, while we are His enemies, how did He embody the love that it takes to send His Son to die for us? How is that possible that we are loved that much? That each and every one of us is loved that much? It's not fair, are we? We should respond to those questions. Not fair that we're still drawing breath as sinners. Not fair that perfection had to die for us. And God does not leave us in that blindness. He didn't say, you're going to die in these sins. He said, I'm going to make a way for you to be reunited with me. Because Satan's tactics, his blindness is no match for the gospel of Jesus Christ. No match. He may seem strong in your life, but God can open your eyes to the truth. Because in 2 Corinthians 4, it continues in verse 6, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You can rejoice in that, brothers and sisters. He has not left us in our blindness. He has made a way for us to see His glory. And that's the way that every believer comes to know the truth. God shines the light of the gospel into their hearts, and the truth of His word becomes real, and the truth sets us free. When Jesus is talking to Peter in Matthew 16, and he Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" Peter says, "You are the Son of God." Jesus doesn't just throw a party and say, "Way to go, Peter, you got one right." He says, "Nobody told you that. No flesh and blood revealed that to you. God opened your eyes to that truth." That is what must happen in the heart of each and every one of us. The light of the gospel must shine and reveal the truth to us. We see a clear example of this come from John 8, 31 through 36. Scripture says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in a family, but to a son he belongs forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" That is the truth of God. That He is real and He is glorious. That is revealed through His Word. And through His work, our eyes can be opened to the soul-saving truth. And if you are here today and you've never had your eyes open, today can be the day that you see the truth. And here is that truth. You were created by God, knit together in your mother's womb, and yet you were born into sin. Without Christ, you are a slave to sin. When sin grabs you, there is no release point. It shackles you. It tells you what to do. You have no choice. But God, in His infinite love, sent His Son, Jesus, to take the punishment for your sin, to live a perfect life, and become a perfect sacrifice without the blemish of sin, and die in your place. Jesus was willingly obedient unto death for you. 3 days later, He conquered death and He rose from the dead. And that grave is still empty. He appeared to many and then He ascended into heaven. And if today you put your faith in Him and follow Him as Lord all the days of your life, then you are set free. This is true. That no matter where you are in life, no matter what shackle sin has put on you, there is no too far gone. There is no too far gone. There's no need to be cleaned up first. God is able. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Put your faith in Him today and you can be redeemed.
Haunted by ghosts and demons.
it's not, let today be the day that truth is made real in your heart, that Jesus Christ is your Lord. As we continue to sing, if you want to join us at Harmony Baptist Church, as some have already come forward to say, if you want to profess Jesus as Lord, come and do that. Let Him be your Redeemer.